I have now turned cassette number 3 over to the other side, and I will now start recording again from the woolen sack recorder with its 7-inch diameter tape discs.
The main roads connecting Ogden, Salt Lake, and Provo were
still. They were paved. They were paved roads, but they were only two lane roads, and so they weren't. None of them were over two lanes, and they were narrow too. You had to keep right on that narrow road all the time. You know, you couldn't get off the shoulder. You'd have to have trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So today the highways are so much better than they were at that time. I went over a lot of gravel roads, macadam roads.
Mm-hmm.
There were plenty of macadam roads at that time. It was crushed stone. It was rolled, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just crushed stone from the quarries and roll it with a steam roller.
Mm-hmm.
So they soon wore out. They were under auto traffic. They couldn't hold up. But they did make them for a long time after the autos got traveling the roads.
How many miles an hour would you drive in this nice truck?
Oh, I suppose we drove 25 or 30 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you got that load to its destination.
Yes, I got to its destination, all right. And boy, that was a sure scary drive for me coming back.
Were you all alone?
Yeah, I was all alone. I'd get somebody to help me load when I'd go to those towns.
Mm-hmm.
Another time we took had a little truck in the van, a load to, two loads to Pocatello. And said, oh, all right in one load. Well, we couldn't take it in the one load, so we had to get the smaller truck. And he had a bookcase with a oval window in it. That was a beautiful thing. Got up to near McCammon, Idaho, and the water there, irrigation water, flooded the road.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to get across this place in the road where the water had flooded and crushed it. The truck wheels, we had solid wheels on the rear of the trucks in those days, just pneumatic in front. Those truck wheels went down out of sight in that mud.
Mm-hmm.
Had to get a team to pull us out. But when we got to Pocatello, why, that bookcase window was busted right out. It broke entirely. When we took it in, the fellow looked at it and said, oh, well, that's all right, fellow. He said, just forget it.
Well, customers aren't like that, usually.
No, certainly. He didn't have one. We thought, gosh, there's going to be trouble now, but he didn't say a word. It's all right, fellas.
I'll be bothered.
Well, we only figured on one truck ticket, see, for $75, so he got his money's worth.
Uh-huh.
He had two loads, two trucks, so he thought he could well afford to have a new glass put in that bookcase.
Well, now, how about some of your girlfriends and whatnot, and when you got married, how about talking about that?
Come here, Mary,
if this is all. Oh, I had a Jim White's cousin when I was firing a switch engine. She was in love with me. And I guess if she'd have stayed in Ogden, she might have married me. She went back to Rexburg, Idaho, and we forgot about each other there.
Was she a Mormon?
Yeah, and Jack Mormon. Yeah. Clara Reberg, I guess, was one of my first sweethearts. She lived next to us and across the tracks there. Her father was a railroad conductor.
How old were you then?
Oh, gosh, I was just a kid, I guess, then. And her sister, Ida, she thought a lot about me, too, but I didn't do anything about it. She was quite feminine, Ida was. And she was more dressy than Clara. Well, then a girl down in Lehigh, Utah. She was, Clark says she was a bishop's daughter, but she wasn't. But her father was high in the church.
What was her name?
Edith Taylor.
How did you get acquainted with a girl from Lehigh? That's quite a ways
from Ida. When I was working for George Murphy, and a box of apples, her name was in it, I wrote to her. I sent her a postcard. And we wrote to each other.
How did I get the box of apples? Did she pick them?
She was picking apples, and she put her name in this box of apples. So I went down to see her a couple of times, and then I forgot about her.
You probably need some homework to marry.
Oh, I think Mother added on to that. I didn't say that.
Well, Mom says you were down in Southern Utah working once. What was that about?
Oh,
how old were you there?
That was the time. That was Edith Taylor down in Lehigh. I was working down there.
Well, was someone down there talking to you about the church and trying to convert you at that time? Was it this girl or what?
No, they didn't talk to religion too much to me. They were a religious family, and they had their prayers and family prayer, and asked the blessing on the food. Something different if that happened and took place in my home. So it was quite an experience to me. So, just being away, too far away, we forgot about each other, I guess.
Well, now, didn't you work at one time in a brick kiln in Wilson Lane?
Oh, when I was a boy.
How old were you then?
Oh, I wasn't very old. It was before I was out of school.
Wasn't there someone there that was preaching Mormonism to you?
No, not in this case. I used to go all around, look for jobs during vacation. This vacation, I went out to Wilson Lane, and there this man was making brick. And by hand, holding them by hand, I would carry them away from the... I'd carry the molds away and dump them down on the ground, see?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd bring the molds back, and he'd fill them up again. Of course, he had a half a dozen molds there. I always had a mold filled.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked for him all summer. Didn't get one penny out of him. I did get my dinner every day.
Was he supposed to pay you?
Yes, he was supposed to pay me $1 a day and my meals. He didn't pay me anything.
He worked all summer.
Worked all summer for him. Didn't get a cent out of it.
What was his name?
Staker. His name was Staker. Never did get a cent out of him.
How old do you think you were then?
Oh, probably about 11.
Hmm.
7 years old at that time.
What other kind of summertime jobs did you have when you were still in school?
I worked one summer at the factory. The factory down here, Pioneer Canning Company.
Mm-hmm.
And when the tomatoes came, they put a pair of boots on me and give me a big scoop shovel. And I shoveled up the tomato juice and tomatoes off the floor and threw it in a hopper, and that's what the hopper, the ketchup came out of.
Dad, how do you like to eat ketchup?
I don't like it.
You think they still make it the same way?
No, I don't think they do. I don't think they do now, but I went around over ankle deep in tomato juice and shoveled it up into this hopper, and that's what they made the ketchup out of.
How much pay did you get for that?
50 cents a day.
How old do you think you were on that job?
I was 12 years old at that time, the year before I quit school.
Uh-huh.
Quit school at 13. So I was able to buy some clothes with that money that I made at the factory there. And we used to pick fruit and One time they wanted, we was out in Wilson Lane, they wanted one summer, and they wanted us to thin sugar beets. Well, I had a notion to go and do it, but that was on Pingree's farm. But the other kids, they didn't want to work there, didn't want to do any, eat any sugar beets, so I didn't either. If I had some support, I'd have done it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have enough gumption to go away from the crowd and do it myself. Had too many against me.
Well, now you heard about the church before you met Mom, hadn't you?
Oh, yes, I heard about it. But I was just complacent.
Where did you first hear about it? Where somebody was trying to convert you or convince you?
Oh, we had a brother Jones. He used to sell medicine. Came to the house.
On Benford?
No, on Pacific Avenue. On 780 Pacific.
Your dad and mother let him in?
Yes, they let him in. And he preached the gospel. You remember the Jones boy. Well, what he said appealed to me, all right. And from that time on, I did have an inclination to the church. But my folks were always against it, see? They're bitter against it. Yeah, so I remember one time, we lived in the Second Ward, I remember the MIA were having dances.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the children down there, some of the young people down there were going to the dance. And I asked Mother if I could go. I wanted to go to that dance. I thought I'd like to go. Wanted to go. Cost 25 cents to go to the dances. But no, she wouldn't give me a quarter to go. And so I wasn't spunky enough. I just let it go at that. What she'd say, well, just, that was it. I wouldn't argue with her about anything. See why I should have been a little arguing. But I was too complacent. This complacency didn't get me anywhere. I didn't get into the church. Wasn't aggressive enough, and so.
You did go to a primary dance.
Oh yes, I remember going to a primary dance. What a wonderful time I had! Why, it was the best time of my life when I was a child. Went to the Second Ward to a Christmas dance. The Second Ward for children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember they sang Sally Waters when we danced. This foot and that foot, and then he put a tall little Sally lost her petticoat going to the ball. Boy, did I have fun. Oh, and that's sure a wonderful time. And people don't realize, your parents don't realize what joy you get out of one of these church socials, one thing or another. Even when you're a child, they didn't have any of those things. Guess they didn't appreciate it. Well, I couldn't go after that anymore. I had such a good time that I was barred from going anymore. I remember Mrs. Wilde took us to that.
She a neighbor?
Yeah, she was a neighbor. She lived on the avenue below Pacific. There was just two avenues there. I forget what the name of that street was. Streets run to north and south. On the west side of the tracks.
Mm-hmm. Where else did you hear the gospel before you met Mom?
Down at
Ritter. You know, all he thought about was socialism. He didn't think anything about the gospel when I met him. But I bought a Book of Mormon at one time and read it. Yeah. Where did I get that Book of Mormon from? Now, that was before I met you. Before I met you, and I got the Book of Mormon. But I enjoyed reading that. I thought it was all right. But when Florence came along, why, things changed in my life. I'm grateful that I met her, and I'm grateful for the gospel. I'm grateful for our family. I'm grateful that they were raised up in the church. The kingdom of God, and I'm grateful that all you boys had a chance to participate in the mutual priesthood and Sunday school. Yeah, I got baptized on the 14th of February, The year 1918, folks didn't know anything about it.
Water must have been pretty cold.
Yeah, they sure were cold.
Where did you get baptized?
Second ward.
Did they have a font?
Yes, they had a font there. Yeah, sure wonderful thing. Now, your mother may not know it, but before I met her at Wilson's, I thought something about her, too. When she was at Coop's and delivered there one day, delivered some vegetables or something on the truck. Well, that mice, she's sure a fine girl. I thought, well, I guess I better go and ask her for a date, and I guess I couldn't get up enough courage to go and ask her. And she used to, well, when she'd phone, she phoned a couple of times to the transfer office. And if I'd answer the phone, my, she, that's your beautiful voice. Well, that's sure a fine voice. My gosh, that's sure wonderful.
Well, now, how about this socialist business? Was this before you met Mom?
Yeah, that was before.
How did that come in?
I guess I was that age, you had to get into something, so heard a socialist speaking on the streets one day. And
how old were you?
About 25. So I got in with a socialist. And according to the socialist, socialism solved all the ills of mankind.
Uh-huh.
So economically, physically, in every way. People would be picking money off the trees and all that sort of stuff, you know.
Well, what was the organization? Was it a party?
Yeah,
just
Socialist
like
Party.
Democrat and Republican?
Yeah. Socialist Party.
On the ballot.
Was always on the ballot, mostly.
Yeah, they were on the ballot.
Well, I guess it still is, isn't it? In many times, anyway.
But they haven't got the solution. Never will have a solution.
Well, did they have meetings where they explained socialist philosophy?
They had meetings. And John McDonald, John McGregor, when we got in with him, and there was a real estate man by the name of Rasmussen and several others. So we used to get in John's car and we got all over Weber County to have meetings.
Make speeches?
Yeah, make speeches. I can see the folly of it all now. I can see John McGregor's attitude. I never did like it. Now, he's always... He was always looking for to get something from the other fellow for nothing, you know.
Is this the John McGregor that lived in Iowa?
Yes, he's the one that lived in Iowa.
That guy, huh?
He's the man that used to take you boys to the Salt Lake Temple for baptisms. Did he ever take you? I guess he was too old then.
I remember him. I remember him.
Yes.
I also remember some conversation I heard about him not being very honest and walking off his people's stuff. Is that the guy?
Yes, he's the guy.
I heard that somewhere in the ward. I didn't hear it from you.
Yeah.
I think that was Castle Murphy's property that he took when Castle was on a mission. I shouldn't be talking about these things. They've got to be made public here. But we've done work for him lots of times and never got any pay out of him for doing it.
Transfer business?
Yes. We used to have him take his equipment around for him.
What kind of business was he in?
Well, he would do cement work and paper hanging and carpenter work. Well, he was good at all three. He was a good cement contractor. When it comes to cement work, well, that's when we do hauling for him.
Mm-hmm.
And never got any money out of him for doing it.
Kind of didn't pay his bills, huh?
So, I should have had sense enough then to know that socialism wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it talked on all against the rich, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Swap the rich, make them pay up. Well, that's the way people think now. That's the way the labor unions think.
Oh,
industry's making too much, too, too much profit. Look at the profit they're making. We got to have more wages. Well, if they didn't make profit, they wouldn't be in business.
Well, they wouldn't have any money to keep changing machines and products and expanding and doing this, that, and the other either.
Well, of course they wouldn't. Now, these labor leaders are parasites. Now, they're going to kill the goose that's laying the golden eggs, and they don't know it.
Yeah, it sure seems so.
You know, parasite has got to have something, some productive person to live on.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're just running themselves out of a job. Won't be long, they're going to bring industry to a standstill, and they won't have any money to...
I want to hear a little bit more about your socialism. Did you give talks out of City Hall Square?
Yes, City Hall Square, and I didn't know.
Did you ever have any interesting experiences in taking the soapbox?
No. People would listen, but you wouldn't hear any comments.
Nobody threw any tomatoes at you?
No. They'd listen, but no comments. They wasn't too interested to get interested in. I don't blame them. So, the labor unions right now are going to bring business to a standstill. This country today can't do any exporting because of the high cost of labor and material.
Mm-hmm. Kind of priced ourselves out of the world market.
Yeah, pricing ourselves right out of the world market. So, socialism is going to be a detriment to to the economy of this country. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to bring about peace and goodwill among men, and all. It's the only thing that's going to bring about fairness between capital and labor. Well, too much selfishness in the world today. People that have not, where they want to take from them that have. There's nothing fair about it. Well, where do we go from here now? What are we going to talk about now?
Well, let's talk about your meeting Mother. What's your version of that?
Well, I used to go there to buy the groceries so I could get in contact with Florence. And one day I got up gumption enough to ask her if she would go to a show with me. So she said she would. I sure grateful for that.
Well, going to a show in those days wasn't a movie, was it?
No, it wasn't movies. You go to the Orpheum.
This was a live play on stage?
Yes, it has. They had a, what do you call it?
Vaudeville
program on every week, once a week. You sure had good stuff on there. Well, they had all kinds of talent.
Serious plays as well?
Yes, we went to good plays too. They had good plays there at the Orpheum. I remember when I was a boy, I used to go to the Orpheum and see what's in that show? Where she went over the ice in the wintertime.
Uncle Tom's Cabin?
Yeah, Uncle Tom's Cabin. And another one, Massachusetts play, where this woman had a legitimate child, and she was... nobody had any sympathy for her at all. She was an outcast. What was the name of that play?
I can't remember, but I know it was
a
good place
for a hat. Yeah, those are the kind of plays you used to see. Good. You used to pay 2 bits up in the gallery, the Theater, to go and see a play.
25 cents each, huh?
Mm-hmm. I was just a boy then. That's the thing that in our boy good days. Yeah, we had the best seats then.
What did you have to pay for the seats when you took Mom?
No, that wasn't expensive. I don't think they were over 50 cents a piece. The best seats.
Now, how would you get there? Would you walk to the show and walk home?
Take a streetcar and walk.
Well, seriously, I didn't have any money.
have to stay here. You can, why don't you move out with your mother? Out on West 12th Street. And I says, well, you used to come there to meet me. I says, it's not necessary that I meet you here at Bill's. I'll go down to your home and get you. Down to Marion. So I used to ride the street car to 12th Street and then walk down there. Get her?
The car
Take your car to 12th Street in Washington Avenue, and then we'd walk down to Florence's at the Broom's Bench. I'd leave there about midnight and walk home along the railroad tracks to 28th Street. So, I was in love, wasn't I?
You must have been.
Sure was.
Where did you propose to Mom?
Yeah, I think you can tell that one. I told you. That you can't do
anything. No, I don't remember that one.
You didn't propose?
I know I got the ring put on your finger, didn't I?
That's all.
Oh, you could read her mind anyway, couldn't you, Pop? Yeah. You knew she'd marry you. She put a ring on her finger.
You think I'm sure of yourself, but I was so there.
Is it the same ring you're still wearing?
Yes, yeah, same ring.
Boy, you've had it a long time.
It won't come off.
I got a diamond ring for her, and she turned it in on that deal we made on the property in Marriott.
Oh,
mm-hmm. I wanted a home more than I wanted a
from 15th and Jefferson to Marriott.
I said I wanted a home more than I wanted a diamond ring. To me, diamonds are just showing off there.
What kind of a diamond was this that you bought for Mom?
It was a good one.
Yes, it was a good diamond. It cost $65.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good diamond ring.
How many carats?
Gosh, I don't remember.
It must have been a real good one because I only paid $55 for the one I bought out of Rose.
$65 ring.
It'd been a lot better then for the money.
So it was a long time getting married, but I think it's paid off.
It's worth waiting for, huh?
It's worth waiting for. But what if I had married out of the church?
30 years old and 10 years to have five boys.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Sure, Michael. They're all nice boys, too.
When they're 18, they don't have any more than that.
They're all good boys, and they're raised up in the church. That's the main thing. Born under the covenant. We've all done well. All holding church offices in the church.
Not a black sheep in the whole
bunch. Not a black sheep in the whole bunch. The Lord says that he thinks that being in Virginia is where the Lord wants him to be.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he can do a lot there in Virginia.
I felt that way about it, but he says that's where I come to.
Let's find out. What you worked at. You say you were working for your dad at the time you got married?
Yes.
But then you went to Fort Lewis, Washington right away, didn't you?
We went to Fort Lewis, Washington on August the 28th, 1918.
What do you remember about that?
Well, we had intensive training, and I was put in the motorized ammunition train. And we had MASH truck. And these MASH trucks were four-wheel drives, but they had solid tires all around.
Mm-hmm.
You know how hard it is for any vehicle to get through mud with solid rubber tires. And they trained us in infantry training with a rifle. And they also trained us in mechanics of the motor and had us drive these trucks. I was in Company A of the ammunition train.
Mm-hmm.
Now this ammunition train was half motorized and half horse-drawn vehicles.
Mm.
So We never did get out of Camp Lewis. We were in the 91st Division, completely made up and ready to go. And armistice came November the 11th, 1918, so we didn't get to go over.
You were in bed with the flu anyway.
I was in habit.